I've invited my parents here tonight, and they're out there. Can't see any of you. To hear a story that they haven't heard from my perspective since it happened. And in the 39 years since it did happen, they've been decent enough to keep to themselves. So I think it's time. Don't you? Yeah, I think it's time. And, what better way to drag a skeleton out of the family closet than in front of 350 total strangers? It's 1976. I am 10 years old, and Jimmy Carter is running for president. And as any of you who lived through it will remember, Carter gave at the time a groundbreaking interview to Playboy magazine in which he admitted to occasionally lusting in his heart for women not his wife. Yeah, I know. We were easily shocked back then, it's true. And this was huge news. I mean, huge. And my mother, avid Democratic voter then as now, ran out to God knows where, and my mother bought a copy of this Playboy magazine for the article and brought it back to our house where she put it on our coffee table in our living room. Right next to what I'm sure was the New York Times Saturday book review section, or perhaps one of my father's six editions of Thomas Wolfe's Look Homeward, Angel, which he was always reading. Out of place a little? I think so. But what to my mother must have been this ironical, edgy purchase she perhaps didn't realize was to her young in every way son a potentially life-altering event. Because never had I seen anything like this before, and never had I imagined anything like this before. Hence, members of this audience may not be so shocked to know that a certain time after its arrival, this magazine went missing. Hey, these things happen, okay? And despite the really short list of potential suspects behind this minor household theft, my parents never did go looking for it where they were most likely to find it. My closet. To give them their due, and I think we should do this, a person's right to privacy, age independent, ranked for my parents right up there with like basic rules of politeness and strong organizational skills in their pantheon of virtues not to be taken lightly. Okay? They just didn't go rooting through our stuff. Well, because I couldn't keep my mouth shut, news of my acquisition spread amongst my neighborhood buddies like wildfire. Not merely that I had this object in mint condition, I might add, but it was stored in some sort of parental police free zone that they just couldn't wrap their minds around. I still remember their shifting eyes. They're like, man, I mean, it was the 70s. People talked like this. Man, your old lady, she doesn't, like, case this place? And me, 10 years old, I got to be big man on campus, right? So I said, my old lady? No way, Jose. Do not enter. That's right. Well, off they went like a shot to I didn't know where. And back they came with their friends and their friends' friends, who I now understand were my friends, with every piece of moldering adult entertainment literature that they'd been storing in holes they dug in their backyard, and hollowed out tree trunks, and the rooftops of garages, and the trunks of abandoned cars. A collection enormous both in volume and in variety. And it all went straight into my closet. Overnight, I had become conservator for the neighborhood's pornography. Now, this did a couple things for me straight away. One is it made me immensely popular, which cornering the market on vice will do for a person. Don't look for lasting relationships, however. It's a ticket to disappointment. Secondly, it kind of brought me up to speed on this genre of publication from complete novice to amateur to reasonable expert to nuanced connoisseur in record time and 2 years before I would undergo puberty myself. It was a very weird state of being, but not a bad one. After all, I could now walk or ride my bike with impunity anywhere I wanted throughout our neighborhood, and the same kids who would have shaken me down for lunch money or stolen my bike or just beat on me, they were falling all over themselves to be my buddy. After all, I was storing their porn. Got it. Really, they were doing favors for me. I had everything but the big hat, the Eldorado, and real women. It was life lived large for a small person, okay? And back at school, progressive, private school, all of you know about it, way ahead of its time always, rhymes with arc. We were taking sex ed for the first time, a subject matter about which we were expected to know nothing whatsoever. Well, needless to say, there wasn't anything I didn't know in scary, sophisticated detail. And in short order, I was weirding out my teacher, poor Debbie Rothman, with suggestions for more and better extra credit questions on the tests. And if she was running short of material, maybe I could help her with that. I remember thinking, yeah, she'll think more of me because of this. She'll think more of me. Well, it was just this kind of arrogance that brought about my inevitable tragic downfall. Isn't that always the way? Because I was just too eager to let everybody know how much I knew, and I was heedless. Well, I was also pretty arrogant, I must say, about my supposed right to privacy. And I was heedless of my mother's increasingly insistent requests that I clean my room, which was a sty. And so it came to pass, one day near the end of that school year, a hot, hot day in May, carpool, couple extra kids, my mother's driving, I'm in the way back, there's no air conditioning, it is hot in that car. And she puts the car in gear, pulls away, and says, "Oh, Mark, yeah, Mom, I cleaned your room today." Just left it out there. No follow-up. Well, it got mighty hot in the back of that car. And I don't want to exaggerate for the purpose of telling you fine people a story, but I remember about 11 stops to drop off 12 children on the way home. And eventually, it was a long, hot ride home. And I was dying. I was just dying the entire time. But eventually we did get home, and there are many things about my childhood I don't remember well. That walk from the car to the house, I remember like it was 5 minutes ago. Stay cool. Don't break into a run. I got to the house. I got to the stairs. Stay cool. Got to the stairs. I kind of lost my cool. I started trotting up the stairs, and I ran to the room, which was spotless. That room was spotless. But I've been clinging to a hope, a desperate hope, as children will, all this time, that by cleaning my room, my mother had meant quite literally that she had cleaned my room, which I think legally you would agree with me does not include the closet necessarily. This despite the fact that my mother is the consummate finisher. What she starts, she does well to completion. But look, this is all I had. So the closet is right there. It's across the room. I walk like a dead man to the closet. I open the door, and I see something I've never seen before. The floor. Beautiful hardwood maple floors. I can appreciate them now, but I honestly didn't know they existed. And on the left, a newly installed, rather substantial bookshelf containing my entire pornography collection, ordered in alphabetical order and by publication date. This had taken time, people, and attention to detail. Like, what does the Christmas insert for Hustler go before or after the December issue? That kind of thinking had to go into this. It was terrible. There followed a lot of tears on my part and lame excuses like, this stuff isn't mine, and they would have beaten me up if I didn't store for them, and I've never looked at it myself. And she's like, Mark, whatever. Listen, when I ask you to clean your room, clean your room. And I realize now that my mother had communicated to me in that elegant, unabusive action the three things we all must communicate to our children. One, clean your room. Two, I can go into that room anytime I want. And three, honey, no matter what lifestyle you choose, I will always love you. That's my story.